Hello, welcome to Uncluttered, a podcast that discusses the connection between faith and organizing. Our focus is not just how to be organized, but why it's important from a biblical standpoint to leave the chaos and the clutter in our lives behind. I'm Angie Heitch, an author and certified professional organizer living in East Tennessee.
And I'm Leanna George, an author and former professional organizer living in Houston, Texas. Are you ready to unclutter your heart and your home so you can make room for what matters most? If so, let's dive in. All right. Well, we are back. We are back. We are back. We are back from our summer break. We are so excited to be starting season 4 of the Uncluttered podcast. I don't know what you did this summer, listener, but Angie and I, we were busy relaxing and doing our favorite things. I got to spend time at my happy place, the beach, for 2 weeks undistracted. I read 5 books. It was great. Spent some time with my children. My husband and I worked on some projects. So it was great, but it's good to be back. And Angie, what were you up to this during this podcasting break?
Well, I spent a lot of time on trails. I'm sure you're not surprised at that. Hiking trails, biking trails, going to see some waterfalls in the Smokies. My husband and I have been playing a lot of pickleball. It's kind of a new obsession. So, and of course, reading. So that's some of what I've been doing, but glad to be back talking about my favorite topic, decluttering and organizing.
That's right. That's right. Well, for this first episode, we're kind of going back to the basics a little bit. And we're going to be talking about some key organizing principles. We've identified 10 crucial points that we think will give you a really solid foundation for your decluttering organizing goals. And in fact, they're so important that Angie has named them the 10 commandments of organizing.
Yes. And before we go into the 10 commandments of organizing, we're going to start with a little mini deep dive into the biblical 10 commandments. I'm going to give Leanna a 5 question true false quiz about the 10 commandments in the Bible.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, perfect. It's back to school time. So,
there you go.
Let's get in the school quiz.
All right. So question number 1, true or false? And listener, maybe you can try to think of what your answer would be. See how you do. True or false, God spoke the 10 commandments to Moses at Mount Sinai, which is in current day Egypt.
Very true. Very true. And on a side note, I rode a donkey through the middle of the night up to Mount Sinai. So yeah, didn't see any 10 commandments, but
that is super cool. I love it. All right. Question 2, true or false, the 10 commandments are never actually called the 10 commandments in the Bible.
That would be true.
Yes. The Hebrew expression, which occurs several times in the Old Testament, literally means 10 words. So someone else made up the name 10 Commandments.
Was it Charlton Heston who made the movie The 10 Commandments?
Maybe. Or the director. Yeah, I don't know. All right. True, false. One of the many times that the Israelites grumbled was in the desert of Mount Sinai, where they were hungry.
Well, I know when I get hungry, I grumble a lot. So I'm going to say yes to that one. True.
Absolutely. Yes. This was in Exodus 16, and God answered by supplying manna. And we talked about that in one of our episodes.
Yeah.
So you're right. All right. 2 more.
Okay.
True or false? The 10 commandments did not all fit on one stone tablet. This is a surprise question.
Let me see. True.
Okay. I tricked you on that one. So the answer is actually false. So if you look at, if you just Googled 10 commandments and asked for a picture, what you see all the time is like 1 through 5 on one tablet and 6 through 10 on the other, whatever.
Yeah.
But the truth is that they were actually written on both sides of 2 tablets. So Exodus 32:15, Moses turned, he went down from the mountain, and the 2 tablets of the covenant were in his hand. tablets inscribed on both sides, inscribed on front and back. And it was standard practice to make duplicate copies of a treaty document etched in stone, one copy for each party. Now, what God did with his copy, I don't know. But anyway, all of the commandments were on each of those tablets. So,
oh, okay.
That was a new one I learned. Okay, last one. True or false, the Ten Commandments are listed in the Bible three times.
Well, I know they're definitely in Exodus, and they're probably like buried somewhere in Leviticus or Numbers where we just kind of skim over those chapters. So, but three times, I don't know. I'm going to say false.
Okay. The answer is true. Twice in Exodus, chapter 20, chapter 34, and then Deuteronomy 5. So,
okay. All right.
But you did well. You got the majority. Thank you. Yeah. 3 for 5. Good job. I knew you'd do well.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, we've had some fun with the 10 Bible commandments. So let's transition to the 10 commandments of organization. Now, keep in mind that these commandments weren't spoken by God or carved on stone tablets, both sides in Mount Sinai. But they are grounded in scripture, and they include some of the most important principles for decluttering and organizing. So let's dive into the 10 commandments. Angie, why don't you get us started?
All right. So, and these are written in King James style, although we will give you a scripture for each that's more like New International. So that's just kind of fun, mixing it up a little bit. All right. Yeah. Commandment number one, thou shalt do all for God's glory. And the scripture here, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So we know that as Christians, our goal is not to compartmentalize our lives, you know, our work life and our home life and our church life or whatever, but we can do everything and devote it to God. And that could be the case whether you are cleaning out a junk drawer or doing a 5-minute cleanup or whatever. We can still do it all for God's glory and because of him.
Yeah. And, you know, like we talk about on the podcast so much, and that right off the bat in our book, you know, God is a God of order. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and we are made in his image, which, you know, means we are a reflection of who he is, and we are reflecting that image to the world. And so when we, you know, do things in orderly ways, it does bring glory and honor to him. And absolutely. So we just, you know, yeah. So, again, we're not looking for perfection. You know, God gave the 10 commandments to the Israelites, knowing that they would not be able to fulfill them completely. Right. We know that. And so same way with our organizing efforts, we're not looking for perfection, but we're living with the grace from the other side of the cross. So, but we can still do it because it does show a world that's kind of chaotic and cluttered what it means to live simply in God's image. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Number two, thou shalt create systems for any repeated action. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. That's Ephesians 5:15-16. And so one of the important things to remember is to establish a coordinated procedure for anything you do regularly. And so, you know, if you ask yourself, what is stressing me out? What gets forgotten? What could be easier? Think through these problems and create a system, a regular routine, I guess you would say. And that way it just becomes like automatic.
Yes. And this is so helpful in so many areas of our lives. Think about especially when our kids were young, the routine for the morning, getting ready for school, for after school, for bedtime, for just on and on and on, creating that. Here's how we're going to do it. And then we do it and then say, oh, this worked. This didn't work. So let's tweak this and get it exactly, you know. So creating and maintaining those systems and adapting them is key.
Yes, I've even made little posters and laminated them for my girls with morning routines, after school routines, and evening. So it would take the question out of how are we going to get ready in the morning? What are we going to do before we go to bed? How are we going to handle, you know, relaxing after school and getting our homework done? And the girls always knew, you know, they had that because it was the same every day. And I know that people are like, oh, that sounds so boring. It sounds so stifling, you know, and, but it allowed my kids to know what to expect. And when they had that peace and that steadfastness in their life, they managed much better.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So number 3 of the 10 commandments of organization, thou shalt break up the work into small pieces. Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So getting organized is really best accomplished with small beginnings and just small action steps. When you break a big job into small pieces, you're more likely to actually make some progress and then to continue going. We've seen this time and time again in our own lives and in our client lives, that breaking up the work into small pieces is just a great foundational principle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'd walk into people's houses and I'm like, okay, what do we organize? And they're like, I'm going to do the whole house. I'm like, yes, that's a great goal, but we need to break it down into smaller, realistic, you know, goals here. And so, you know, I would ask them, what one space would make your life, you know, if we organize it, would make your life better, you know? And they go, oh, the bathroom, because, you know, that's when I get ready in the morning and it's just, I can't find my makeup or my hair brushes or this or that. And so if I could, you know, so, you know, you've got this big goal. Yes, we all want our house organized, but let's funnel it down into a smaller space. And then even when you go to your bathroom, a smaller space within your bathroom, like, okay, now I'm just going to work on my makeup or just my hair things, you know, not try to do everything in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, like we've mentioned ton of times on this podcast, we love atomic habits, right? Mm-hmm. And they're called atomics because you're like the atom, the smallest thing that you can find in the universe, right? And that's what we want to work on with our organizing efforts, is the smallest thing possible and grow from there.
Excellent.
All right. Well, number 4 is remember the daily pickup to keep it holy. So it tells us in Proverbs 10:4, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. And so the Bible clearly points to the rewards of diligence and hard work and consistent implementation of routines like dishes, laundry, and a daily pickup is really important for preventing clutter and maintaining order. And Angie, I know that you are really big about a daily pickup. So I'm going to let you kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Big fan of that. So any of these things, dishes, laundry, daily pickup, these things that they work so much better if you do them often, because then it's like little pieces. We talked about breaking the work up into small pieces. If you do the dishes literally every day, then when you do the dishes, it's never an overwhelming amount. If you wait 2 or 3 days, I mean, forget about it. You're going to be spending hours at the sink. And so it's kind of the same for any of those. It's a lot, you're preventing a lot of clutter by keeping those consistent routines. So the daily pickup, 5 minutes, get the whole family involved, make it fun, put some music, set a timer, make it a game, whatever, and just spend those few minutes throwing away trash, putting things back where they belong. And we'll talk about that in another one of these commandments, but just regular routine of picking up is just one of my favorite organizational strategies.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do a daily pickup, I would say. But I can honestly say that when I have, you know, like I used to always make sure that the dishes in the sink was empty before I went to bed. And now there's just me and my husband, and we have so very little, you know, like last night he grilled a steak and we made some baked potatoes. So there were no pots and pans to clean up. There were only 2 plates and forks and knives. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I was tired. It was my birthday and I did not feel like doing dishes. Right. So I didn't do them, but you know, I knew that that would be okay because I'd get up and deal with it in the morning.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but if I don't deal with it in the morning and I don't deal with it in the afternoon and not again and again in the evening, then like you said, it just starts to build up. And so we need to try to remember not to let too much time get past us. So we don't want to say you have to do the daily pickup. We do. We want to do it regularly. We want to keep it holy, but we also want to offer ourselves grace as well.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the point is frequency, and it doesn't have to be daily as much as possible, because there are days that you can't, or days when you choose not to, and that's okay.
Yeah, but I do love that. Keep it holy. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I was going for the remember the Sabbath to keep it holy.
Right. So. Yeah. No, I love that. I love it. I think it's great.
All right. And number five, thou shalt be a good steward of thy belongings. Mm. Psalm 89:11, the heavens are yours and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. And we talk about our stuff, the things that we own. But the truth is that we really don't own anything. Everything that we have, whether it's our physical possessions or it's our time, it's our thoughts, it all is ultimately from God. And as a good steward, steward's a word we don't use that much these days, but you think about it like custodian or babysitter or something. So everything that we have, since it's God's, our goal is to use it in a way that God would want us to use it. So are we stewarding, taking care of the possessions that have been entrusted to us, the time entrusted to us, and our attention in a way that would please God?
Yeah. And I think a lot of times for people, they think of stewards and being good stewards as with money. Right? Mm-hmm. Being a good steward of your money, right? But we forget that it's also with the things that we own beyond just money. And so things that we buy with our money and how we treat them and do with them. So yeah, it's definitely, we need to be good just with our money and just the things that we buy with it. All right. Well, number six, thou shall not needlessly keep items that aren't being used. Now, this has to be one of my favorite verses when it comes to organization in God's word, because the first time I read it, I was like mind blown. Right. And it's from Ecclesiastes 3:1-6. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to keep and a time to throw away. When I read that, I just, wow, Lord. I mean, I just love that verse. And I think it was one of the very first devotionals I ever wrote before Angie and I ever teamed up. I had a few already written, and it was that one, because I was just so drawn to that. But good stewards don't keep excess items they aren't using, right?
Yep.
We just don't. We're willing to share with those in need. And so I think it's important that if we aren't using something, to let it go.
Yeah. I guess that's the closest that you'll find to the word declutter in the Bible is.
Exactly.
It's time to throw away. And throw away doesn't necessarily mean in the trash. It just means to let go. And that could be donation or recycling or whatever. Yeah.
For sure. Oh, yes, for sure. Right.
Yeah. All right. Number seven, thou shalt trust God to take care of them when they give up items that they've kept just in case. So the scripture is Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's very, very common for us to keep things just in case. And if there's a pretty legit chance we're going to need something and we keep it in just in case, okay, no problem. But so many times that is an excuse when the odds of us needing them is kind of low. And often the things we keep just in case, we're really kind of keeping them out of a fear or a lack of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, we just have to remember that God is Jehovah Jireh. He's God, the provider. Mm-hmm. Right. And if let's say you give something away and you know, you need it again, God knows that. clearly aware of everything that we do, and he's clearly aware of every need, and he'll provide it. If we truly need it, he will provide it. But we, I think, in our fear, forget that. And so we are like, no. I'm going to hold on to this. And just in case, because, you know, that in here, it becomes a question of our, a test of our faith, because I don't think God will provide, right? And so we need to really look at what is it we're saying when we say, just in case, I'm going to keep it just in case. I think what we're really saying is, God, do I trust you to provide if I don't, if later on down the line? And so I think that's really important for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Number eight, thou shalt not cling to the past. It says in Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And, you know, Angela, you wrote, I think, one of the most popular devotions in the book about holding on to our memories from high school and our glory days.
And my beloved, you know, trophies and medals and plaques that I struggled to get rid of because they were so much a part of who I was in the past. Right. And but it was like, you know, if you keep everything from your past and you're just clinging to your past, you're not making room in your home and your heart for what God wants to do for you now and in the future. Yes.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Because he cannot, you know, if we're clinging and holding on to things so tightly, then there is no space or room for us to open up our hands and receive what he has for us in the future. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we definitely have to let go to make more space. But that can be hard. We know that. And in fact, I think we're going to be doing an episode coming up about, you know, things from the past, especially other people's, what we're calling dead people's things, you know, that's really hard for people to get rid of. So, yeah, we have to remember to not cling to that past too tightly.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
All right. And number nine of our 10 commandments of organization, thou shalt be a blessing to others. Hebrews 13:16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So when we are willing to unclutter our lives, we're going to be able to give more freely because we can share the belongings and the time and the attention that we've gotten rid of those, so we have more to give to others. We can be a lot more intentional about how we serve others and through that serve God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I'd work with clients and, you know, they'd be like, no, I've got to keep all five of these. And I was thinking to myself, you don't really need all five of these. And so then I would just ask them, well, you know, but what if somebody else might need one of these? And they would say, oh yeah, you know what? You're right. Somebody could use that. Yeah, I'll go ahead and give that one of those five away or two of those five away because, yeah, there could be. So I think sometimes when we're, you know, thinking about or as we're decluttering, if we can reframe our thinking to, you know, why do I need to hold on to this or how am I going to keep this? Maybe we should be asking, how can I bless somebody else with this? Mm-hmm. And when we reframe our thinking and reframe our questions, it's easier to let go. It's really easier to let go. And it's such a good feeling to bless others. There's nothing like it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it goes back to the commandment about being a good steward. You know, does a good steward keep boxes and boxes and boxes of things they're not using when someone else could get use out of them?
Right.
I think no. Yeah. So.
No, definitely. Definitely. So we want to always be looking for ways to bless others. You know, and a lot of times people think about it as personal belongings, but definitely time and attention are equally as important.
Mm-hmm. Equally the greatest gift you can give someone is your full attention. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the final commandment of organizing is thou shalt get the tools you need. And Philippians 4:19 tells us, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So we want to make sure to remember to surround our efforts with prayer and the principle of his word. because he delights to bless you through his word and prayer. And also remember that God may have put someone in your life to help you, whether it's a family member, a friend, or a professional organizer. You know, one of the greatest tools you can do is work in community and have somebody help you and have you go along with that.
Yeah, you might just need an accountability partner, or you might need someone who's got experience, but don't be afraid to reach out for what you need to get your goals accomplished.
Exactly. Exactly. Just make sure it's not somebody that's going to go, oh, well, maybe you should keep that, you know, because yeah, it looks really good on you, you know, or yeah, no, maybe you should. Cause you know, just in case, you never know. I mean, girl, you need that gone, or that outfit does not look good on you. Let's let it go. You know,
make sure someone who knows what your goals are. You know, I'm trying to unclutter my life here. And so,
and
someone who's not going to sabotage those efforts.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be loving and firm and holds you to the fire. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of tools that you need, we have created a free resource so that you can keep these commandments convenient as you're decluttering and organizing. And you can find this in our show notes for this episode, where you can always find our show notes on our website, uncluttered.faith.
Yeah. And while you're on the website, make sure you pick up our free gift for being a newsletter subscriber, where we have given out some decluttering signs to help identify when you're in the process of decluttering. What do you want to keep? What do you want to donate? What do you want to throw away? You know, because when you're decluttering, you have these piles. I'm going to keep this. But then we finish making the piles and we're like, okay, which pile was which, right?
Yeah.
And so these signs can be really helpful to help you in that process. So you can print them out and use them when you're organizing.
Yes, you can. So you can find those on our website, uncluttered.faith. And also find out about our devotional book, Uncluttered, Shaping Your Heart and Home for What Matters Most. So thanks for being patient with us while we were on our summer podcasting break. We'll be back in your on your podcast platform every couple of weeks for a while. And so grateful that you chose to hang out with us to talk about uncluttering our hearts and homes. We appreciate you.
Yes. And until the next episode, remember, an uncluttered life is an abundant life.